Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, overcast and cloudy, and it's been raining just about every day the last week or two. We're definitely in the rainy season. Some of the days it rains during the day, some of the days it rained during the night, like last night, and we've had some very, very hard rains, but our maize is up, our plantings are up, and the beans are up, and they're looking very good, and so we're in good condition here. Just to give you an update on the coronavirus situation here in Kenya. Kenya yesterday recorded their first death in the coronavirus situation. We were a bit late to get any coronavirus positive tests here because most of the people here don't travel, and there was no coronavirus in the country originally. But as people came in from other countries, from Europe, from Italy, and from China, then the coronavirus was brought here. But thank the Lord, most of the cases have been isolated in Nairobi. People that were isolated were kept in Nairobi in confinement, in quarantine. And so for the most part, Kenya has been very fortunate and very blessed to stay clear of the coronavirus. There's about 30 people in the country that have been tested positive, one death, but the country is in somewhat of a semi-lockdown, and that is very, very difficult for people because about 50% of the people in Kenya just live hand to mouth from their daily taking, that whatever job they have, whatever enterprise they have, the money that they make that day is what they use to buy food that day. And so it's very difficult for people here to prepare, to stock up, to put food aside. And in fact, in the slums in Nairobi and other cities, it's virtually impossible for people to stay in their house because they have to scratch for a living. They're going to starve if they stay in their house. They have to scratch for a living. If you sell bananas for a living alongside the road, or you run a boda-boda, a motorbike, you don't have anything to do in your house. You don't have anything to do that you can make a living in your house. And so you have to get out and scratch, or you're going to starve for a living. And so it's going to be a very difficult situation for Kenyans if this lockdown quarantine situation goes on for very long. You're going to see people start to starve. You're going to see people start to defy the government, and there will be some kind of a revolt rise up and defy the government, or there may be some suicides also. So anyway, if you have that time to pray, which you do probably if you're not going to work, or if you're not in your normal busyness mood, if you have time to pray, pray for the country of Kenya, because even though we don't have much coronavirus, we have a very difficult situation going on here in Kenya. Well, the Lord has been instructing me a lot about this coronavirus. Actually, for the country of Kenya, the Lord showed me back in December that there was going to be a famine coming. And I spoke that out in our church. I preached about it one Sunday in our church. And I believe the famine is here again because the Kenyans don't have food stored up. I believe this is what the Lord was showing me in the dream that he gave me in December. The black horse of Revelation, the black horse of famine, actually came out in the dream. And so I'm familiar with that horse because the Lord has shown that to me in other dreams that I've had over the years. And so I spoke that to the Kenyans. I warned them. I said, start to save your money, start to save your food, what little you have, if possible. And so that is the situation here in Kenya. But for those who are listening to this radio broadcast, I'm giving you a warning, and I'm giving you a word from the Lord today as to what is behind this coronavirus. Well, we know we live in a fallen world, and some people may say, well, what is going on? Does God hate us? Is God trying to make us suffer? Is God punishing us? What is going on? And some people are angry at God. Some people that don't understand God's judgment. Some people don't understand how God thinks, how God behaves. they're going to be very confused about this because they think God is just an unmerciful God and he is meting out his punishment, he is meting out his judgment on America. And I'm going to give you a scripture that comes from the book of Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was speaking to the people of Israel and the people of Judah, he was speaking to them the word of God, and he was trying to get them to pay attention to what God was saying to them. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was used by the Lord to speak to the children of Judah and to try to steer them away from their sinful practices, steer them away from their wickedness, and steer them back to God. That is the prophet's role in every situation, is to drop the plumb line and bring correction into the body of Christ, bring correction into the people, and hopefully get people to swing back and to obey the commandments of the Lord and to swing back and to get in alignment with what God's plan is for their life and for their family, for their country. And I believe we're at that point. I know that some people have prophesied that this coronavirus is going to come. I believe that people have been warned about it. Certain situations, I believe God has given people warning about it. I wrote a book, and some of you maybe have read that book. I would encourage you to get it. It's called Prophecies for America. Prophecies, Prophecies for America. And you can get that on Amazon.com. Just click on Amazon.com and then type in Jim Rau, R-O-W-H, or Prophecies for America, and you can buy that book. But God spoke to me years ago about, in a dream, in a series of dreams, when I was in Costa Rica, he spoke to me about storing up some food, storing up basic essentials, because there would be a time when chaos and breakdown would reign in America, and you would need to be confined to your home. You would be confined to a point where you couldn't get out to the grocery store. And even if you got to the grocery store, there wouldn't be any food to purchase. The shelves would be empty and chaos would be reigning. Well, you've seen what happened in America the last 3 weeks, and the shelves of the big stores, Walmarts, the Targets, and the big stores have been completely empty. People have been buying up in a panicking frenzy. And so God showed me that years ago, and many other series of dreams that I recorded in that book, Prophecies for America. So many of the prophecies are still yet to come. There would be great value for you if you read that book, great value for your family to know about the things that the Lord has spoken for me. Beloved, there are many things yet to come that are going to be much worse than this little coronavirus situation. There may be nuclear war, there may be martial law in America, there may be some situations that are going to make this coronavirus situation look very tame. So we're going to look now at Jeremiah chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 10, and this is the prophet Jeremiah as the Lord is speaking to him. He says, "And when you tell these people all these words," and all these words are the things that Jeremiah has been speaking to them in terms of warning, 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 come back to the Lord. "And when you tell these people all these words and they say to you, 'Why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is the sin we have committed against the Lord our God?'" Well, as I said before, there are probably many people in America, you have these questions. Probably people listening to this radio broadcast, you have these very questions. Why has the Lord pronounced this great evil against us? Well, you can sum it up, beloved, in a nutshell and say, this is a fallen world that we live in. We live in a world that is separated from God. We live in a world that is not of God's design. His world was the Garden of Eden. His world was a place where man and woman lived, and they had no pain, they had no suffering, they had no sorrow, they had the plenty and the bounty of the tree of the fruits, but not of knowledge of good and evil. They had the bounty of all the trees of the garden, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so Adam and Eve sinned, they fell, and so we live in a fallen world that is by nature separated from God. And even beyond that, as we are separated from God, even beyond that, there are very sinister players, very sinister characters, very sinister countries in the world that are even beyond the wickedness of general population of general countries. There is a wickedness and a sinister nature to some people, and they want to dominate the whole world. They want to take over the whole world with the plans of the evil one, just as the devil has fought against Jesus Christ and fought against Jehovah God and the kingdom of God ever since the beginning of time. There are players and characters in the world today that would like to see the devil's plan take over the whole world, and so they actively plot and they actively do things that make situations much worse for people all over the world. Well, it's true that the world is separated from God, but beloved, you can be walking with God. You can be walking under an open heaven. You can be walking in God's glory. You can walk in the Spirit. The world does not have any hold over you. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And he said, the devil is the ruler of the world, but I have overcome the world. Beloved, if you want to overcome the world, if you want to walk on the right side of things and walk in the glory of God, you certainly can this day. You just have to know Jesus Christ and submit to his leadership, keep his commandments, and you will be not separated from God. You will be then in the sheepfold with the Lord Jesus as your shepherd and your Lord and Savior. Well, back to Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 11. Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods and served them and worshiped them, and have forsaken me and not kept my law, and because you have done more than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his own stubborn evil will, refusing to listen to me. Well, beloved, that pretty much describes most of the nations of the world. It pretty much describes the United States of America. I remember when I was a young boy growing up in this town, there was practically no businesses open, and maybe no businesses open on Sunday. Every family was in church. Just about every single person was in church with their family, and there was no activity. There was no ball games. There was no activity on Sunday. People visited their grandmother. People visited their brother and their sister, and people had meals at home and invited other people in for visit, and invited family members in for visit. And people didn't go out shopping on Sunday. They didn't run all over the country for ball games. And look what we have now. God is just a kind of an asterisk. God is a footnote. Everybody is so busy on Sunday. If they don't work on Sunday, they are taking their children all over the country for ball games. They're taking their children all over to do this and that. And so we have changed dramatically in our attitude towards God, in our reverence towards God, in our way of keeping his commandments. And I'm not saying that I've been perfect in all this. Obviously, I haven't. You know my testimony, most of you. But I'm saying that God is calling people back right now. He's stripping our idols away from us. Jeremiah says, because your fathers have forsaken me and they have gone after other gods. Well, these are the gods that we've gone after. And God, Jehovah God, is stripping all of those other gods away from people right now. He is stripping them away. And he's saying, come back to me, focus on me. Number one, we have gone completely bonkers and completely crazy over sports. People spend more time with fantasy ball games and going to ball games and hauling their children around all over the country on Sundays and every other day of the week after ball games. No time to pray, no time for Bible study, no time for fellowship. And so sports, God is stripping away. One of the first things that God took away was the NBA basketball and all of the other sports games. In Kenya, we have soccer, we have football. They call it football here. But the big European football leagues and the big African football leagues, God stripped them away right at the beginning because they could not meet. And so God has taken the sports away, all the betting on sports, all the preoccupation. Here in Kenya, if you go into any restaurant anywhere in the country, everybody's eyes are glued to the football game. People can't even talk to each other because of the football game. And so that is the first God, the little God that Jehovah God has stripped away from us. The second is our consumer society, our constant need to be shopping, shopping, shopping. Every little thing that comes down the pike, we have to have it for our house. We have to have so much stuff that we rent, storage spaces. We have garages and outbuildings full of stuff, and I'm guilty of that myself. And so God is stripping all that consumer attitude away from us, that we have to be on a nonstop shopping spree 24/7. And so that is a little God that we are going to have to deal with in our life. Even our churches, God has stripped away. Many of us believe that the beauty of our church buildings and the fancy services, all the lights, all the whistles, all the smoke, all the projected videos and all of that stuff, they think that is God. That is not God. Do you worship God when you go to church? If you don't, maybe God wants you to change your attitude. Or do you just look around and see who's there in church and look up and down the row and see who all's there and comment about the lady's hair, comment about people's dress, comment about who's here and who isn't here? That isn't God. God is Jehovah God that we worship, and God wants to strip away the seeker-friendly church. God wants to strip away all that extras, all the extraneous stuff, and bring us back to a place where we go to church, we focus on God, we worship Him, we pray to Him. Communion, when we take communion, we repent and we ask God to forgive us. It's not just a ritual that we do on Sunday because that's what we've always done. And God is stripping away all those idols that we have associated with church. Well, there's another idol that God is taking away, and that is travel. Many people, their hobby is travel. Can you imagine? I've traveled about 500,000 miles around the world, and I tell you, beloved, I'm not very excited about travel anymore. But many people, travel is their hobby. They just love to go places. They love to see things, and that's human nature. That's good. It's okay. But God is saying, it's time to stay put and focus on me. It's time to stay put and pray to me. It's time to stay put and focus on your life, who you are, your relationship to me, why I gave you your life, what it is that you're doing with your life. All of these questions that we can ignore when we're traveling because we're too busy trying to satisfy the wanderlust in our life. And with the advent of cheap airplane tickets and cheap travel, people can run all over the world and never have to see God or never have to look for God. And it's okay to take a trip. It's okay to look at other things in the world. It's a wonderful, beautiful, fascinating world out there. But beloved, if you're doing it just for the sake of doing it and just for the sake of travel, that is not God's will for your life. He has something greater for you. I've traveled, as I said, probably 500,000 miles, and I've done it for the kingdom of God, most of it for the kingdom of God. And beloved, I've seen many parts of the world, and I would not have seen them if I was not serving God. I would not have been privy and privileged to see all the wonderful, beautiful things that God has shown me. And they're not all part of the eighth wonders of the world. They're not all on somebody's list of the great places in the world to look at. But when you fly into Butembo in the Congo and land on a dirt strip ready to go minister the word of God, beloved, that is just as fascinating as seeing the Grand Canyon. And so God has been faithful to me. He will be faithful to you. But when you start to seek the Lord, He will send you places that you never imagined. He will send you places and give you places to go that weren't on your bucket list. I can guarantee you that. Well, another little god that God has stripped from us is the entertainment, the little god of entertainment. Hollywood, the big industry of movies, the big industry of pornography, the big industry of television programs, all of that, God is stripping that, much of that away. The movie attendance, of course, in America is way down because people can't congregate. But God is showing us that He is number one. He is number one. And if you don't have time to pray, if you don't have time to study your Bible, and if you have never had time to fellowship with the saints because you're too busy watching movies, you're too busy watching Netflix, you're too busy watching pornography on your computer, all of these forms of entertainment that come out of Hollywood and other places, God is going to rearrange your priorities and adjust your priorities so that you can come to know Him and that you can come to know the one true living God, the living water, the bread of life that will give you more satisfaction than sitting and watching in just another movie for 2 hours and then it's over and you're back to your miserable life. Well, what is our iniquity? Jeremiah says, people are asking, what is our iniquity? Well, that's a big question for the United States of America, but let me just say our iniquity has been getting stronger, it has been getting greater, and we are full of iniquity. God is calling us to repentance. God is calling us back to get in alignment with Him, and I can say that there's about three major sources of iniquity that undergird just about all of the other iniquity and rebellion in the United States of America. And number one is abortion. It started in 1973 when this country, by decree of the Supreme Court of the United States, that this country started to okay and make accessible, legalized abortion in America. And God going to hold Americans accountable for the shed blood of the innocents. That's part of what the judgment that is being meted out upon America is all about. There must be a payment. Genesis 9 verse 6 says that the payment, he who sheds the blood of the innocents, by him the recompense must come. In other words, the payment for the shed blood must come for those who shed that blood. And so, beloved, we have aborted and murdered 60 million babies in this country since 1973. I believe God wants to bring a halt to that. I believe God wants to turn that situation around. I believe that under the current administration and this president, that Roe v. Wade will be set aside, that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And I pray for that every day, that we can come back to the Lord and not keep shedding the blood of the innocents, which cries out from the land. The second great iniquity that we have is the push to normalize and encourage homosexual behavior and homosexual perversion, transgenderism, all of those perversions of sexual behavior. And I know there's much controversy and people get very upset when you preach these things, but this is God's word and God is faithful and true to His word. He cannot bless what He calls abomination. He will not bless what He calls abomination. And so these things are an abomination to the Lord, and America needs to get right and get straight so our children aren't confused. Our children know that they are either male or female, and they know that God has a plan for their life, and it does not include sexual perversion. Read Romans chapter 1 in verses 24 to 28. I don't have time to read it now, but if you want to study up on what God believes about homosexual behavior, read chapter 1 in the book of Romans. And then the third iniquity that we have practiced as some of the presidents and some of the administrations in the U.S. have pushed against Israel. They've turned their back on Israel. Thank God this administration has been a staunch defender of Israel, even to the point of moving the U.S. Embassy over to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, first time in 70 years that that has happened. And so I believe that we are coming into alignment with God's plan for this nation in its relationship with Israel. Well, I'm going to close today with a scripture to give you some encouragement so you don't think that everything is sour grapes and everything is just the hammer of the Lord coming down on you. I'm going to close today with a scripture from Psalm 121. And this is a psalm of ascents. And it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Beloved, if you have fear in your life today, if you are afraid to die, whether it's from the coronavirus or anything else, if you have fear of death, you need to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Death has no sting over you if you know Jesus. Death has no hold on you. Jesus' victory on the cross and Jesus' resurrection proved that death has no hold on him. And beloved, when you walk with Jesus, death has no hold on you either. You don't have to fear coronavirus. You don't have to fear Ebola virus. You don't have to fear malaria or the flu or anything else. And so that is God's plan for you, that you come to know Jesus and that you receive him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe God is speaking to you through this coronavirus situation, and maybe he is saying to you, it's time for you to come to me. It's time for you to know me. And beloved, if you're in that place, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, confess your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask Jesus to come into your heart, to rule your life, to be your Savior, to be your Master and your Lord, and he will be faithful and true to do that. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.